Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. We sang, "I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him." We sang another song here I marked, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." There's a lot of words in those songs that are very precious, as long as they're true in my life. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. I want to talk a little bit about the situation in Israel this morning. I don't know what some of you think of when you think of Israel being at war with Palestine again. What do you think of when you follow the events from day to day? Assuming you do follow them, I've been watching a little bit. Fear? Just another skirmish? A little squabble, they'll fight it out, get over it again. Uncertainty? You know, if you let yourself think about it, this could be the big one. This could develop into much more than just Israel and Palestine or Hamas trading missiles. How about confidence? It's my goal that no matter what your feelings are now about what's going on, that when you leave here, you'll be able to look at it with confidence and trust that God is in complete control, and that as long as I am on His side, and that's a very key part in this whole discussion, as long as I am on His side, I have nothing to fear. I'd like to turn to Psalm chapter 2, and I actually have a lot, I've said this once or twice before, a lot of scriptures this morning. I often sit down and write down, look up scriptures that come to mind, and like I often say, I think the scriptures are as good a thing for us to look at as anything I can say. So we're going to cover a lot of scriptures this morning. I would like for us to look at this psalm, and then I'm not really going to break this down. I'm going to be going through other scriptures. But I think the other scriptures can help us to look at this psalm in a more meaningful way. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Imagine if the kings of the earth would take this to heart. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. And then my title, "Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." That line in verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." I don't think that's a nervous laughter or a laughter or like, "I'm not sure what's going to happen." I guess that line gives me a lot of confidence in knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what the nations, the kings of the earth may decree or may decide or may plan together, the Lord laughs, says, no, I'll do it my way. You'll see. Some things I want us to think about. First of all, I need to be on His side, not He be on my side. There's a difference. I don't need to ask God to come be on my side. I need to go to God and join His side. He will take care of His own. I choose whether to be one of His or not. Now we're going to go through some scripture here. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want us to think about and notice the kingdom of God this morning. The kingdoms of the earth. In the end, there will be one kingdom. And that will be the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we come in? Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll be mentioning this again later, but something that struck me as I went through and compiled these verses is the present tense, or the past tense, that is often used. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is, well, he doesn't say it again, but it's the, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Not yours it will be someday. It is yours. If time permits, I'd like for us to spend a little bit of time in prayer as a group, concerning this whole situation with Israel, concerning where we're at in, we are in the end times, whether that means there's still 100 years to go or 100 minutes. But praying together as a group, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and that we would be ready and prepared for whatever may come. Before we do that, one thing I wrote down is that we could spend time in prayer just laying ourselves at the feet of Jesus and reassuring ourselves before Him. Before we do that, I'd like for us to look, spend some time looking at some of the promises we've been given. I like to say, there's a song that I often think of and I like to quote, I've read the back of the book. And we win. In Sunday school, we talked about having hope. And it's so precious to know. Another way of saying that is He wins. Here again, I want to emphasize, we need to come and join with Him. Let's notice as we read that many of these promises are also warnings and have some requirements attached. 2 Peter 1, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have an if, and then a promise. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that, of course, is Jesus, or God. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I thought it would take Jesus to put it in a context where we don't feel bad being compared to sparrows. But He says, even a sparrow doesn't fall unless the Father wills, or without the Father noticing. You are more valued than many sparrows. Malachi 3. We talked about this when we went through the book of Malachi. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord. A book of remembrance was written. There's another place that says that if I were to write down your thoughts towards me, they would be more than the sand of the sea. I think that it's easy for us to think we're just one of many and not really all that important in the kingdom of God. And yet if we would write down God's thoughts toward me, toward you, it'd be like the sands of the sea. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth Him not. Second Timothy 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Luke 21. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Revelation 2, verse 7, 17, 26, and then 3:21. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, notice the reoccurring theme here, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 26, and he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Then chapter 3, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, I said I'm going to mention this again, but now I'm going to read from Revelation 11. This is all future events as far as we're concerned, I believe. But notice the past tense. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the reason I stress past tense is because I can make plans and they might change. When God makes plans, they may not have happened yet, but they may as well have, because they're going to. And He shall reign. I'm sorry, I'm not sure where I stopped there. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee. Nobody gave it to him. Nobody had to be persuaded. Jesus said, I lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again. And here it says, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. I don't know how these verses strike you. Either they should give you assurance, hope, a welling up of joy. That's my team. That's my God. That's my King. And then probably my favorite passage in Scripture, Revelation 21. I want to read the first 8 verses. But we're going to contrast the first 7 with verse 8. And here again, I think one thing that just struck me about this years ago was John sees things and then he says, in verse 6, he said unto me, it is done. This isn't a possibility or a hope so. This is what is going to happen. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, there we have that phrase again, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. God himself shall be with them. God himself shall wipe the tears from their eyes. I wonder if we grasp the significance of being told that God himself will dwell with us. If I'm, I don't mean to make it sound like we won't ever face tough times. But if what I'm facing looks too big, I've got my eyes in the wrong place. I will be his God and he shall be my son. So we have probably my favorite passage, followed by one of the saddest verses. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These promises are for everyone. But none of them are automatic. None of us have a birthright or an automatic entry clause. You must come. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must join with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take part. I'd like to read the lyrics from a song that Rich Mullins wrote, and it's based on this psalm, Psalm chapter 2. Some of you will recognize this. It's from back when I was in the youth group about that time. Why do the nations rage? Why do they plot and scheme? Their bullets can't stop the prayers we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace. We walk in faith and remember long ago how they killed him and then on the third day he arose. Well, things may look bad and things may look grim, but all these things must pass except the things that are of him. Then the chorus, where are the nails that pierced his hands? Well, the nails have turned to rust. But behold the man. He is risen. And he reigns in the hearts of the children rising up in his name. Where are the thorns that drew his blood? Well, the thorns have turned to dust. But not so the love. He has given. No, it remains in the hearts of the children who will love while the nations rage. The Lord in heaven laughs. He knows what is to come. While all the chiefs of state plan their big attacks against His anointed one. The church of God, she will not bend her knees to the gods of this world, though they promise her peace. How much does that sound like what's going on? Peace, peace, peace. We need a ceasefire. We need all of this. And yet we all know that's not the answer and that's not what's going to happen. The church of God, she will not bend her knees to the gods of this world, though they promise her peace. She stands her ground, stands firm on the rock. Watch their walls tumble down when she lives out His love. And then the chorus again. Where are the nails that pierced His hands? The nails have turned to rust, but not so the man. He is risen and He reigns. In the hearts of the children rising up in His name. Where are the thorns that drew His blood? The thorns have turned to dust. But behold the love He has given. It remains in the hearts of the children who will love while the nations rage. I believe that the best thing we can do for the children, the people of Israel and the people of Palestine. That's another thing I think it may be easy for us to get caught up in is the idea that, yes, Israel had another victory. They got another mosque. Those evil Muslims. I don't know how many of you read the different articles on what's happening, but some of the quotes were from Palestinian mothers that lost children. A four-year-old laying in a hospital full of shrapnel from a bomb. These are real people, and it's really things that are happening. One missile took out 17 members of one family. A father, a mother, seven children, and then some relatives. Imagine what that must be like. I think we do well to spend time in prayer for these people. And I believe it's important that we pray for Israel. I don't pretend to be an expert on prophecy, on end time events. There's differing opinions on all of that. I do know they're all people and they all have souls. And I think it would be good for us to pray for them. And not only praying for them, but praying for ourselves that we would know where we stand. Tom mentioned in Sunday school this morning, what will it take for me to quit attending church? If I know that any time the authorities may rush in and carry away whoever's here. We tend to struggle sometimes now with finding a reason to come to church. It'd be pretty easy to find a reason to stay home if I might get arrested. We don't know. We have a president that's more, seems to be more Muslim friendly, if that's how you'd say it, sympathetic than any president we've ever had, probably. If there was ever a time in our history where we were likely or it was possible for the country of the United States of America to abandon Israel, to turn against Israel, it seems like now is as ripe a time as any for that. I don't want to put fear in our hearts, but neither do we just ignore it and say it's not going to happen. I think we need to do some thinking, preparing our hearts, preparing our homes, our families. What will we do? How will we respond when missiles start hitting our country? Where do we go? I think we go to the Lord. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time in prayer here. And then I've asked Austin to play a song, Triumphantly, the Church Will Rise. And again, just the beauty, and it's a shortened, it's actually a medley of three songs, but it's shorter than one song usually would be. But just, like I said, knowing in the end, if I'm with Him, I'm okay. But I must be with Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just come before You this morning. I thank You, Lord, for Your precious promises. I thank You, Lord, that we can know that we are on Your side, that we can join allegiance with You, that You will turn away no one who comes to You. Lord, You've told us to make our calling and election sure. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would do inventory, would search our hearts. I pray that You would search our hearts, that You would try us and know us. Lord, these are uncertain times that we live in, and they have been for a long time. And we just pray, Lord, that You would work in our hearts, in each individual's heart and life, in whatever way we need. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be honest with ourselves, to see us as You see us. Show us those areas, Lord, where we need to be changing and shoring up and being ready for what might come. Thank You, Lord, for the promises we have, the many promises that tell us that You are in control. Nothing happens beyond Your control. You laugh at the efforts of those that would try to defeat Your plan. We praise You, Lord. We thank You. We know that You alone are worthy of our praise. And that in the end, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we thank You, Lord, that You've invited us to be part of that. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning that doesn't know what it means to be at peace with You. Or maybe there's doubts or questions. I pray, Lord, that they would make those things right, that they would get to know You. They would leave here with You as their Lord and Savior. We just ask Your Spirit to move in our hearts. And we bless You, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. I just pray for Calvary Chapel. I pray for our future and your plan for our future. I just pray that we would be able to discern and follow your will. We commit ourselves to you anew. We thank you, Lord, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.